Are you ready, Mr. Alderson?
Yes, Mr. Boyle.
Right, lads, that's near enough. That's near enough.
Are you ready?
Oh, yes, I'm ready.
Well, if you're ready and we're ready, what's holding us up?
Need you ask? This looks like being another edition of radio's newest quiz program, Find Harry Worth. I don't know where he can be. I gave him the most detailed instructions. Mr. Worth, I said, take the lift. Get out at the fifth floor, I said. Hello?
Help!
I thought so. Harry Worth.
No, no, it can't be. I'm Harry Worth.
Yes, I know you're Harry Worth.
Ah, but do you know who you are? This could be very serious.
Look,
you know.
Mr. Worth, I'm Robin Boyle.
Well, it's more serious than I thought. I say, do you remember telling me to take the lift?
That's right. I told you to go up to the fifth floor.
But you didn't tell me it wasn't always possible now, did you?
Well, when is it not possible to take the lift up to the fifth floor?
When it gets stuck between the third and the fourth.
Well, why can't you use the stairs?
Well, there's a very good reason. I'm in the lift.
You're stuck in the lift?
Yeah. Now, luckily, it's one of those lifts with a telephone in it.
Look, we're all here. We're waiting to start the show. How long have you been stuck in the lift?
Well, 3/4 of an hour.
3/4 of an hour? Well, why on earth didn't you ring earlier?
Well, there is a reason, you see, and I shall give it to you now. You see, just as I was getting in the lift, Who should get in with me but Billy Cotton's band?
Look, Mr. Worth, time's getting on. Look, we shall simply have to play your opening music. You'll have to do the show from where you are.
Well, why not? Now, everybody, would you please breathe in while I get my script out of my pocket? Ooh, well, that's made a difference. There's room for two more. Well, here we are. I've got my script. No, those are my sandwiches. Oh. I've got it somewhere. Start the show, Mr. Boyle. I'll find it.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, from a lift shaft somewhere in Broadcasting House, we present radio's clown prince of unpredictability, Mr. Harry Worth.
Now, the first thing I'd like to say, and I do hope it meets with your approval, is that I intend to come straight to the point. Well, I tell you this because I wouldn't like you to think I was one of those people who've gone talking and talking and finish up by saying nothing. I wouldn't like you to confuse me for one of those. I mean, if one is making a point, one should come right out with it. And there are three good reasons for doing this. What are they? I will tell you. One, there is no time like the present. Two, if you wrap things up, you're quite likely to forget what you're talking about. And three, just a moment. No, there is a third reason. I can't remember what it is. Now, and so to my second point, which again, if you don't mind, I'll hit right on the head. The common market. Need I say more? Very well, then, I won't. Now, at this point, I'd like to deal with a letter sent to me by a listener. He starts off, Dear Happy North. Dear Happy North. Don't let this confuse you. It could be his handwriting, or again, it could be my glasses. Or yet again, he could be writing to somebody else. Now, there are several other letters I would have liked to have answered at this moment, but unfortunately, nobody sent me any. But I did get a telephone call from a gentleman in Lyme Regis, and some shocking language was used. This is now in the hands of the police, and with a bit of luck, I might get off. Now, of course, you know, I've always been worried and baffled by lifts. I got in one the other day. There was a notice on the wall. It said, this lift will only take 7 persons. And do you think I could find 6 other people to go up with me? I could not. I do believe the lift is moving. You know, pardon me, I was just thinking, it must be a funny business being a lift man in Broadcasting House. Can you imagine what he has to go through? Third floor, Desert Island Discs. Listen with mother, meet the wife. Any questions? Going down, radio newsreel, yesterday in Parliament, the monkeys. Oh, hello. Which floor, madam?
The Harry Worth show, please.
And not before time, is it? Ladies and gentlemen, what a lovely surprise. It's, is it? I'll put my glasses on. Yes, it is. It is Miss Pearl Carr. Thank you, Pearl. Marvellous. Really, isn't she wonderful, Mr. Boyle?
Oh, she's delightful. You're a very lucky man, Mr. Worth.
Oh, just a moment. Hmm? Aren't you confusing me with Teddy Johnson?
No, I meant you're lucky to have Pearl and Teddy on your programme.
No, I'm only joking, Mr. Boyle. But Pearl and Teddy, they're marvellous people, you know.
Yes, I know. Is it right you live next door to them?
No, it's not right, but they don't seem to mind.
Well, really, I should think they're delighted. I suppose, living next door to each other, you're often in each other's houses.
Well, I very often find myself in theirs, but luckily they do have different wallpaper. Oh, and I soon realise what I've done.
Quite. Yeah. All I'm trying to establish is this. Do you see much of your neighbours through the week?
Oh, yeah, well, quite a lot. Now, Monday mornings, Teddy usually has a word with me over the garden fence while I'm pegging my washing out. He gets very critical of my colours, you know.
Oh, does he indeed?
Oh, he's very fastidious, particularly about his own white shirts. Well, he has to be. He plays snooker with Leslie Randall.
Oh. What about Tuesday?
Well, I sometimes see Pearl in the supermarket on Tuesday.
Wednesday?
And yes, and again Thursday. Now Friday, that's Pearl's night when she goes to the pictures. And Teddy likes me to go round and help with the washing up.
Yes, I'm sure he appreciates that.
He's not very good at it. He's not really. Strictly between ourselves, he will keep washing the plates first and the cups last. I tell him it's not really fair on the wiper.
Yeah, what about Saturday?
It's just the same. Plates first. It doesn't matter.
No, I mean, what do you do on Saturday?
Ah, Saturday, that's when I realise what marvellous neighbours the Johnsons are.
Teddy!
Yes, darling?
It's 10 o'clock. You'll have Harry at the door, and you know he can't bear to be kept waiting.
I'm almost ready for him. Where did you put the nerve pills?
I've hidden them. You're not to take any more.
But, honey, I need them. You've no idea what agony and strain I go through giving Harry a Saturday morning driving lesson.
Why he can't go to a driving school, I don't know.
It's very simple. He's already put two out of business. And word gets around, you know.
Oh, he's here.
Now, have I got everything? Highway code, L plates, smelling salts, crash helmet.
Oh, do calm down, Teddy. You're just going to have to be a little patient.
I know, but in which hospital?
Coming, Harry. Now, Pearl, you know where the insurance policies are?
You told me that last week.
Well, don't forget, third drawer down in the bureau.
Oh, come on. I'll open the front door for you.
Ah, good morning, Teddy.
Hello, Harry.
Oh.
When are you taking your driving test?
Well, the first of next month and again the following Friday. Well, I've started to arrange them in pairs. Saves postage, you know.
Right, Harry, shall we get in?
Certainly. Do you want me to back the car out of the drive, or don't you think the gateposts will stand another knock?
Let's throw caution to the wind. You drive.
There's courage for you. Goodbye, Pearl.
Bye. Be careful. I do worry, you know.
Everything will be all right, Pearl. I'll look after him.
Third drawer down in the bureau.
Here we are, Harry. You get in. You feel all right this morning, Harry?
I feel really fine.
Not nervous or anything?
No, I feel very confident.
Good. I just wondered why you were sitting in the back.
Oh, silly of me. I'll come round to the front. That's better. Let me see. Brake off. Clutch depressed. First gear. Rev up. Yes. One thing I've forgotten, Teddy. Switch on. Right. Here we go.
Take your foot off the accelerator, Harry.
Pardon?
Your foot is on the accelerator.
I can't hear you, Teddy. I can't understand. What happened? Are we out of petrol?
No, Harry. I switched the engine off. You had your foot right down on the accelerator pedal.
Oh, dear me. Mistake number one. Let me check now. That's the clutch I'm pressing now, isn't it?
Yes.
And that's the accelerator.
That's right.
What's that I'm pressing now?
That's my foot.
Oh. Mistake number two. What will come next? Mistakes always go in threes, don't they?
Would you be better with the seat further back?
No, Teddy. The seat's fine where it is. It's the pedals that are too near.
Now, look, Harry. Let's try to keep our heads. Start it up again.
Right.
Good.
Now, I'm about to put the gear lever, which is this one here, up and round into reverse, which is that there. Right?
Right.
Teddy. Doesn't appear to want to go in. Do you think it's something I've said?
Give me the gear lever, Harry.
Can't, Teddy. It's fastened to the floor.
I'll manage with this end, thank you. Right, it's in reverse. Now ease your foot off the clutch and accelerate slightly. Good. Foot off the clutch. Gently. Gently. What did we forget to do, Harry?
We forgot to take the handbrake off, Teddy.
Harry, you've been driving now for nearly 10 minutes and you moved the car exactly 3 inches.
If you remember, that was my mistake.
3 inches.
Ah, but you will agree to I haven't hit anything.
Come on, get a hold of yourself, man. Start up, clutch in, reverse gear, accelerate, brake off and drive.
Well, make up your mind. Which one do you want?
I want them all.
Oh, can't you give me a minute?
We're actually moving.
Oh, dear.
That's more like it. Now let the back of the car go through the gates. Good. Good. You're going to miss the gatepost.
Am I? Shall I go back and try again?
Now, get your right hand down.
Get your right hand down. Down where?
Put your brake on.
Which one is it? I'm busy.
Not that one.
I can't find it.
Your brake, Harry. Your brake, Harry. Your brake. I think that's enough for today, Harry, don't you?
Plenty. I think we've done very well. We did about 4 feet in that last burst. I mean, I must learn to walk before I can run.
Same time next Saturday.
I'll be ready. Just think, another half dozen lessons. I'll be outside that gates and off with my old plates on.
So, that's Saturday morning with the neighbours, is it, Mr. Worth?
I don't know what I'd do without Pearl and Teddy. They're marvellous. Incidentally, they're not bad singers either, you know.
No.
Would you be kind enough to sort of do the honours?
Delighted. Ladies and gentlemen, Pearl Carr and Teddy Johnson.
Sunshine, lollipops and rainbows, everything that's wonderful is what I feel when we're together.
Brighter than a lucky penny when you're near.
The rain goes, disappears, dear, and I feel so fine.
Just to know that you are mine. My life is sunshine, lollipops and rainbows, that's how the sweet rain goes, so come on, join in. Everybody's sunshine, lollipops and rainbows. Everything that's wonderful is sure to come your way. 'Cause you're in love to stay.
Sunshine, lollipops and rainbows.
Everything
that's wonderful is what I feel when we're together.
Thank you, Pearl and Teddy. Well, as one gets to know Harry Worth, one realizes that here we have a man with a burning ambition. He longs to be something in the city. And the other day, by what means we shall probably never know, he managed to get an interview in London with a leading business house for the post of chief buyer.
I say, Tilson,
Did
you see that? Chap spread-eagled himself on the platform. All the papers flew out of his briefcase. Oh. Must be an absolute ninny.
Well, so long as he doesn't get into this compartment, he can be Whistler's mother.
Oh, wonders. I do believe we're moving.
Good. Ah, back to the Times crossword. Now, 27 down, a totally unexpected phenomenon.
Ah, good morning, gentlemen.
Oh, great Scott. It's Whistler's mother.
I beg your pardon.
You're just doing the crossword, old man.
Forgive me for asking, but did either of you happen to notice which end of the train they've got the engine?
Is it important?
Oh, it's vital, you see. If it's at the front end, and I've got my back to it, I'm on the wrong train. Now, on the other hand, if the engine's at the back and I'm facing it, I'm on the right train, but it's going the wrong way.
Where are you going at this moment?
Going in the same direction as the train.
Tickets, please.
You've got our tickets, haven't you, Tilson?
Yes, here they are.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Could I have yours, sir?
Yes, rather. Here you are.
Thank you. Yes, very interesting, sir, but not much good to me.
No?
No. According to this ticket, you're 11 stone four and about to meet a tall, dark lady with money.
Do you know, that's rather extraordinary. I am 11 stone four and I'm having tea with my aunt. Who, by the oddest chance, is quite tall and dark. Tell me, do you gaze into crystal balls?
I collect tickets, sir. Rail tickets.
You really, Meyer, that's a fascinating hobby.
It isn't a hobby, sir. I do it for a living.
Oh, well, don't apologize. After all, it takes all sorts to make a world.
True enough, sir. It also takes a ticket to travel on a train. Can I see yours?
Oh, I shouldn't think so. With a little patience, maybe. Shall I tell you how to get to it?
Pardon?
You catch the next train back and you'll find it between the rails on the down line.
Sir, I'll make you a single ticket out. Just give me 9 and 4.
Certain, sir. I'll just get my wallet out and... Oh, why isn't it in my inside jacket pocket? Now, come along, Harry. Don't keep the man waiting. He wants 9 and 4 and you can't give him 9 and 4 until you find your wallet. Well, what are you going to do? I'll look in my back pocket. I'm looking in my back pocket now, and it's not there. It isn't there, Harry. No, it is
sir,
not.
Sir, if you don't mind me butting into this conversation, I'll do the rest of the train and come back.
Thank you. Now, come on, Harry, start again. Inside jacket pocket, no, not there. Back trouser pocket, no, it is not. Well, it must
I
be somewhere.
I say, do you think you could manage without the running commentary? I'm trying to do this crossword.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, here's a tough one, Crowther. 14 across. Impending impediment.
Excuse me, would either of you two gentlemen object if I pulled the communication cord?
Not only would we object, we would go so far as to forcibly restrain you.
Oh, yeah, I appreciate your motive. You're probably saying to yourself, if this man, meaning me, hasn't got 9 and 4 pence to pay his rail fare, how is he going to find £25 for pulling a communication cord? You must understand, I've got this very important business appointment.
Well, I've got a business appointment.
Yes, indeed. But did you receive a letter telling you to come? And if you did it tell you to bring the letter with you? And if it did you put it safely in your wallet so you would not leave it behind?
I don't see what all this has got to do with it. Where is your wallet?
At home, in the fridge.
In the fridge?
In the fridge.
In heaven's name, man, how did your wallet get in the fridge?
Well, the last time I saw it, it was on the kitchen table. I must have put it where the butter goes.
In 23 years of travelling on this train, I have never once met a man who put his wallet where the butter goes.
It happens to me all the time. It's when I'm clearing the table. It's one of the penalties for having a tidy mind, you know.
Just tell me one thing. Did you realize what you were doing when you put your wallet where the butter goes?
Oh, no. Otherwise, I wouldn't have put it there, would I?
Well, how can you be sure that it's there now?
Well, it must be, mustn't it? Otherwise, why would I have just found this butter pot in my briefcase?
Come in.
Oh, good morning, Miss Craig. Sorry we're late, Sir Walter. You'll never believe the trouble we had on the train this morning.
Well, let's skip the excuses, gentlemen. There's work to be done. Come on, let's go through into the boardroom. Miss Craig, you will send the applicants in as they arrive.
Certainly, Sir Walter.
After you, Tilson.
Come in.
Yes. Good morning. Is this the managing director's office?
Yes, it is.
At last. Could you tell the managing director I've arrived?
What name is it, please?
I've no idea. I couldn't read his signature on the letter. It looked like... But if it is of any help, he told me to come at 11.
11 o'clock. Well, according to the list of appointments, the name's Worth.
Isn't that amazing? So is mine.
Yes, I know, Mr. Worth. Our managing director is Sir Walter.
Sir Walter? No, I can't place him. There was a Sir Edmund Fitzherbert Worth.
Well, I assure you, he's not our managing director.
Well, I hope not. He was beheaded in 1692.
Yes, well, I think you might be able to go in and meet the appointments board right away, Mr. Worth. I'll just check.
Yes, Miss Craig?
One of the candidates has arrived rather early, Sir Walter. Will you see him now?
Which one is he?
A Mr. Worth, due at 11 o'clock.
Right, ask him to come straight in.
You can go in now, Mr. Worth.
Ah, that's very kind of you. Thank you very much. And a very good morning to you, gentlemen.
Good morning, Mr. Worth. Sit down.
Crowther, look who it is.
Oh, suffering snakes. We're back with Whistler's mother.
Well, don't tell me you haven't finished your crossword puzzle.
Now, Mr. Worth, we sent you a letter in which we outlined our idea of what a chief buyer's policy ought to be.
Ah, yes. The letter, you say.
Yes, read it to me and tell me where you think we've gone wrong.
The letter. I'm afraid I can't do that, Sir Walter.
Why not?
It's in his fridge.
It's where?
In his fridge.
Crowther, are you feeling all right?
I'm feeling fine. But this man has a butter pot in his briefcase.
A butter pot?
Well, he's not doing any harm. It's got the lid on it.
Can you elaborate on that, Mr. Worth?
Oh, yes, I can, you see. I realized the letter was in the fridge as soon as the man told me I was 11 stone four and about to meet a tall, dark lady.
Well, I feel I'm losing my grip on this interview. Now, let's get back to the point.
Yes, yes.
Now, we do a very large trade in cotton goods.
Cotton goods.
Now, supposing you wanted to buy 500,000 print dresses. Which market would you explore?
Islington.
Islington?
Islington.
But what do you mean, Islington?
There's a stall on the left as you go in. And a very nice, obliging man he is.
But you mean he's a manufacturer?
No, he's a cockney. It's a lovely turn of phrase. Get your fancy frillies here, every one a winner.
Miss Sprague!
Yes, Sir Walter?
Get this man out of my boardroom.
Right away, Sir Walter.
Can I clear up a point? Does this mean you want time to think it over?
Get him out of here!
What a terrible day that was. It's a joy to get back to my crossword puzzle.
You know, I still don't know how that chap Worth ever got through to our selection board.
Just be thankful that lightning never strikes twice in the same place.
Ah, we meet again. My word, is it not a small world?
Yes, and rapidly getting smaller.
You mustn't worry. I'm not going to embarrass you by asking whether I got the job. As a matter of fact, I'm not sure I want it now.
Oh, is that a fact?
No, it suddenly struck me. Sir Walter looks as though he'll be retiring shortly. I'm thinking of putting in for his.
Do you mind? I'm trying to finish this crossword puzzle and it's rather difficult.
Well, allow me to help you. What's the clue?
Well, if you're bent on flashing your worldly knowledge, it's a tuneful picture of maternal art.
Tuneful picture of maternal art? And you don't know what it is?
No, I don't. Do you?
Yes, it's Whistler's mother.
This has been half an hour of instant confusion at the hands of Harry Worth. Those unavoidably involved were William Kendall, Brian Kendrick, Geoffrey Hibbert, and Donald Eccles. Taking evasive action but failing to get out of the way were Pearl Carr and Teddy Johnson, with music from Jeff Alderson and his sextet. The script, yes, we did have one, was by Ronnie Taylor, and the producer, who is still on his feet, was Bill Worsley.
Mr. Boyle?
Yes, Mr. Worth.
I just wanted to say thank you to you for all the time you spend helping me with this radio show.
Lovely. It is a pleasure, Mr. Worth.
Yeah, well, it worries me a little bit. I keep thinking you're neglecting your own work. I mean, if there's ever a gale warning any time, don't hesitate, slip one in. Sure, nobody will complain if it might jazz things up a bit.
Well, thank you.
There is one last thing.
Yes.
Would it be all right if I sent a personal message to Mr. Charles F. Delderfield of 21 Clayton Terrace, Upper Brockley?
Uh-huh.
He's a marvellous gentleman. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, he's my milkman.
By all means, you go ahead, Mr. Worth. It's your programme.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. 2 pints tomorrow, Charlie. Goodbye.
Oh,